Our scripture this morning is from Matthew 10, verses 26 through 33. So do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid, you are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. This morning I simply put our topic as, do not be afraid to speak up. Now, I want us to think about fear for a moment. There are varying degrees of fear. There's a fear of going into a situation where you don't know what's going to happen and you just are uncomfortable. But that's an acceptable fear. But when you look at the Greek for this word fear, this word in the one, there's two times that it's mentioned, do not be afraid, in this very scripture. Do not be afraid. It means to be so fearful that you're going to be caused to run away. It terrifies you. And you're going to run away. You know, they talk about that we have our adrenaline that kicks in, and we have two responses to that adrenaline. Fight or flight. And we have just a few seconds to decide how we're going to channel that adrenaline when it kicks in. And we have to think through what it is that we need to do in that situation. Sometimes we don't choose necessarily the right thing. I'll give you a couple examples. I'm always good for the examples of the way not to do it. All right? So here you go. Back when I was in high school, I had a dog named Maxwell Smart. He was a mongrel, but I thought he was wonderful. And we lived in Washington, D.C. at the time. And I would have to go and walk him. Now, any of you that know Washington, D.C., you know it's a big city. I lived in a relatively good neighborhood. Really, it had been a mansion at one point. There was a synagogue sitting on the corner right beside where I lived, which was also the church building for the Seventh-day Baptist Church there. And on Sabbath mornings, besides us meeting, the synagogue would be holding services. But they also had special times and different things that they would have. Now, one of the things that you would have thought that women would have realized during that day and age, because they knew that the city was not as safe as it used to be, was that you don't wear a white mink stole with a black purse. One day I'm out walking the dog, and this lady is walking out of the synagogue when a guy comes running by her, grabs the purse off her shoulder, and takes off down the street. Immediately my adrenaline kicked in. Whether it was fear for the lady, fear for myself, or what, I don't know. Well, you know what? I didn't assess very good at that moment. I took off running, not away from the guy, but after the guy. I hadn't thought, does he have a gun? Does he have a knife? Am I in danger? Am I putting my dog in danger? Et cetera, et cetera. I hadn't thought anything. I just, zoom, took off after him. And the dog chasing after him, I'm catching up. But then all of a sudden, my brain kicked into gear and said, hey, wait, what are you going to do when you catch him? So finally, my brain says, you know, it would be wiser to take a look, do your best, and so that you can describe him to the police, which was very hard because all I saw was his back. But anyway, and stop, because I didn't know what would happen. Obviously, he wasn't going to throw that purse down without a fight. Because if we'd chased each other for, I'd chased him for a good long ways. And if he was going to drop it, he would have dropped it a long time ago. So I did stop. But that's what I'm saying. Sometimes that adrenaline kicks in and you don't have a lot of time to think. Well, in this situation, he's saying that there are some things that you need to not fear. Now, let's get some context here. What is this scripture surrounded by? He's surrounded by the fact that he's sending out his disciples into the world. This was what was going on right before this scripture. He's getting ready for them to go, and he's giving them instructions as they go, what they're going to face and what they need to do. So one of the instructions is, go out into the world, do not fear. Now, the first one was, do not fear. The second one was, there is something you should fear. All right? So he's pointing out that there's times that we as Christians are called to stand up, to go out, to give the gospel, and if you have to, use words. And I love that. I don't know who said that originally, but I love that because we need to exude the gospel in the way we live. If, as a last resort, they haven't figured out that Jesus Christ is living in us and is King in our life, then we might have to mention the fact that He is living in us and He's King of our life. But let the exuding happen first. That means that I'm going to take the time to find out something about a person. I'm not going to go up and grab them by the collar and say, you're going to hell if you don't accept Jesus. Now, is that a lie? No, it's not a lie. But Jesus had compassion. How often did he start out his sermons with the threat of hell? Look at his sermons. He brought them in. He did mention that hell was real. Jesus did not ignore that. But he knew when to insert it. He didn't start there. So, he says, we are called, just as these disciples were, to go out into the world. Now, I want us to recognize that this is a calling for each and everyone sitting here this morning. We are to go into the world. But he didn't tell Johnny to go to Africa. He did tell Darwin and Becky to go to India. He did tell Darwin and Becky to go to Africa. And they went. He did tell Kim to go. Luckily, he told me to go to Puerto Rico. That was hard enough for me because many people in Puerto Rico only speak Spanish. Guess what? I took French in high school. And then, even if there's similar words in French and Spanish, they're talking so fast that you couldn't get a single word that they said because it was so fast. I remember many times going to Judith and hollering for help as someone's trying to converse with me, and I had no idea what they're saying to me. Anyway, I didn't go to Puerto Rico with any fear. I went to Puerto Rico, even though I knew that there were going to be times that I couldn't communicate in English. But I went because I knew that God had called me to go. I was not afraid. Now, did I have some uncomfortableness? Yes, anytime you're put into a new situation, there's some uncomfortableness. But I want you to know that the Holy Spirit takes over. So guys, when you get into a situation in your life that all of a sudden you're in an uncomfortable setting, count on the Holy Spirit. The Word says, in the hour of your need, the Spirit will bring to mind the words you need. So, one, do not be afraid to carry the gospel. Again, I say, carry the gospel always by compassion, faithfulness, goodness, kindness. When others see that, they're seeing Jesus in you. We are to be the salt and the light. But what did he say there was to fear? Fear him who can do what? Destroy your soul and body. Now, It was interesting what the commentary's take on this was, because what do you assume, who do you think he's talking about? I assumed Satan. He was talking about God. God is the one that ultimately will judge. God will be the one who separates the sheep and the goats. We are told in the Bible to have a righteous fear of our Heavenly Father. It is a recognition that He is God Almighty. And that in some ways He's pretty terrible. Or frightening, or whatever word you want to use. Because there will be a day of reckoning. Now, what's beautiful is that the sheep and the goats get two totally different things. So I don't want us to lose sight of that. But we need to recognize that we should have a healthy fear. Not the kind of fear, well actually it is the kind of fear, it's the same exact Greek word that you have in this, but it should challenge us to run away from the things that we shouldn't be a part of. All right? That's the kind of fear that we should have. Now, it goes on to explain that God is not just this big person standing up there watching and looking down on us, and every time you make a mistake, shaking his head. Because he says, you are important. And he names something that they knew was very small, and this was something that was very inexpensive. It says a penny in our scripture that we read this morning. Some of the translation, King James uses farthing. I want you to realize that the concept was that that was a very insignificant thing. Now, those of us that are sitting in here this morning, we all remember when we could get penny candy, right? Can you get penny candy nowadays? Okay. So, I want us to recognize that the good translation for this is not a penny, or it for today would be a penny. Back in the day when a penny actually would buy candy, it wouldn't have been as much of a thing. But sparrows were very inexpensive. They weren't considered worth anything. And yet it says God, the Heavenly Father, watches them and sees when one of them falls to the ground. And if God watches that, how much more important are you and I? I learned something this week, and I was so excited to learn this. Do you remember in the Psalms when it says, what is God that He is mindful of man? For man was made a little lower. And you know what the King James Version translated it? Than the angels. The Hebrew word there is Elohim. That is a word for Lord, for God. We were not made a little lower than the angels. We were made a little lower than God. We were made to be above the angels. At the fall, we lost our position. Jesus had to come back to earth to win back our position. So, this scripture is simply saying, look, you are important. You aren't dirt. You aren't mud. You aren't manure. You are, well, manure can be important on my garden, right? Anyway, you get my point. This morning, I simply want us to realize our Heavenly Father has challenged each one of us to take on His mission, that of bringing the kingdom of heaven to this earth. That is your mission. That is my mission. And how do we do that? By offering Jesus, by offering the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who has come, who will strengthen us and empower us. This is our mission. So today, let us remember not to be afraid of going out. And if necessary, use words. Amen? All right. I had a whole section, we're really out of time, that I wanted us to talk about what things we fear. So I want you, that's what you can do today when you go home and you have your meal. Think about the things that you fear and think about whether those are the things that God would have us fear. I thought about how we're afraid of what someone else is going to think about us. All right? So, these are all the things that we could go on and list, all the things that we fear, that we shouldn't fear. Because God said, go out into the world, overcome your fear. Be my disciples. Make disciples. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the promise of heaven. Thank you for your power and your anointing on this earth. Lord, we ask that you help us to establish your kingdom, to go forth mightily, to show the world your salt and your light, that they may be changed. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.